This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. 2017 brought a lot of news about the Great Lakes. That was due in no small part to it being the first year of the Trump administration. We're going to review some of the top stories with Gary Wilson. He's a contributor to Detroit Public Television's Great Lakes Bureau. Good to talk to you again, Gary.
Hey, Gordon. Good to be back with you for another year.
So let's begin, first of all, with the Trump administration. If we look back to the campaign that Donald Trump ran and a lot of his talk about wanting to cut regulations, is there anything especially surprising about the Trump administration's approach to the Great Lakes?
No, I think that people who observe these things quite closely, like me and a few others around the region, are generally not surprised. Just a quick flashback to the campaign, since you mentioned it, in the fall of 2016. There's an annual Great Lakes conference of environmental groups primarily, and they meet every fall. And in every presidential election year, they invite the candidates who will never attend, but they send the candidates send their surrogates to talk about the Great Lakes. And President Trump did send a surrogate, a gentleman from Ohio, who was, I believe he's retired from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. And these types of talks are all big on generalities and short on specifics. But what he did say to the group of environmentalists was that the Great Lakes are on Trump's radar, if you can believe that. But I guess in campaigns, a lot of things get said that are sort of stretched a little bit. And he said that Trump was generally supportive of programs like Great Lakes restoration. But he also did say, in a moment of candor, he said there would be changes at the EPA, but again, no specifics. So I'm not sure how seriously people took that, but that's what he said during the campaign. And then right out of the box in the first budget, he takes away all the money for the Great Lakes. So that's how this whole thing got started.
And how big of a departure was that? Obviously, there's always some sort of a difference between the two parties on how much to invest in environmental programs, et cetera. But to go from, the Obama administration was generously funded and pretty generously funded under the Bush administration as well, to zeroing it out, was that just a big leap that sort of defied the normal partisan rules here that we might govern under for things such as Great Lakes restoration?
You're absolutely right, Gordon. I was talking to people, and everybody was expecting when the Trump budget was released that there would be cuts to Great Lakes restoration and similar programs around the country, like the Chesapeake Bay. I think the common thinking that was he would take it from $300 million to $250 or $200. There would be a back-and-forth negotiation, and they would settle somewhere in between. So maybe a 10% cut would be the final number. But from 300 to zero, I mean, that really caught people off guard. People were taken aback, and there was obviously considerable outrage in the region from all quarters.
And, of course, that was, Democrats, Republicans, Congressman Fred Upton in this neck of the woods, both the Democratic senators here in Michigan. Debbie Stabenow was kind of leading that fight. But as we come to the end of 2017, what can we say right now about the funding for Great Lakes restoration? Is there some there? Do we know how much?
Well, what's in the budget, the congressional delegation from not only Michigan, but from all around the Great Lakes, but especially Michigan and Ohio, they were leading the way on this. As you said, Debbie Stabenow has been especially aggressive on this, and Fred Upton also. He's got all that Lake Michigan in his district. But through many budget hearings and fights, they were able to get the full amount restored, the full $300 million. And you're right, that was a bipartisan effort. Now, one note, that budget is still not finalized. That's part of this whole debate about shutting down the government if they don't finalize the budget. But they will someday, and that money looks like it'll be in there. And even through the process, EPA Administrator Pruitt flipped just out of the blue. He was giving a talk someplace. After lobbying Congress to cut the money, he comes out of the blue and says, oh, this is a great program and we should keep it. So that's the way things work today.
There was also an announcement recently on what is said to be prioritizing Superfund sites. One of those Superfund sites that apparently is going to get more attention is the Kalamazoo River Superfund site, about an 80-mile stretch, which has PCB contamination. Do we know right now what this actually means for these, I think it's 20 Superfund sites which have been identified?
Well, what Administrator Pruitt has said, the EPA has been, since the Trump administration took office, has been against everything, but you can only last so long like that. But Pruitt has made Superfund sites a priority. It looks like that's going to be his signature piece. So they've identified these sites and given them a higher priority. Kalamazoo River, as you said, is one of them. And this is a recent announcement just within the past week. So there aren't a lot of details. My take on why the Kalamazoo River and other sites are given this higher priority, because I think they've got a higher chance of early success. When projects like this are announced, they're high profile, and they want to be able to show results. And I think the administrator wants to tackle some of these and be able to show that they're doing something and have some quick success. You're right. Not a lot of details. Nothing said, either yes or no, about more funding. So a lot still is unknown.
And that's really the big question, right? Because officials here in Kalamazoo are saying this sounds great, but if there's no more money to go with it, then you're not likely to get the success that you're talking about there, that you want to be able to demonstrate that the Superfund site's getting cleaned up.
Exactly. As somebody said to me the other day after the announcement, there's this is great news. And just in a casual conversation with a colleague, he said, don't clink the champagne glasses yet until we get the details. And one of the big details is will there be money to support the effort?
So a debate which has been making headlines for a good part of 2017 has been Enbridge's Line 5, which runs under the Straits of Mackinac. As we sit here and talk at the end of 2017, what can we say here? Do we think that going into 2018 that this is going to continue to be an issue? Could there be a scenario under which this line is shut down in the near future and therefore oil and gas has to move some other way?
I think this is going to be an issue long into the future. Back in 2013, it really started to make people's radar. And I think at the time, people would think it's like a sunspot, that there's a big outrage or a big lot of questions about it, and then it'll go away. But every year, the scrutiny on this on Line 5 has just increased. And every year you see executives in Michigan, like Attorney General Schuette, who came out a couple of years ago and said its days are numbered. Snyder has talked about it, and he's ratcheted up the pressure. So I don't think that there's any chance that the scrutiny on Line 5 is going to diminish. I think it's with us. Will it be shut down? I don't know. People closer to it than I say that's really a long shot. But you don't know.
There is an advisory board which Governor Snyder appointed and has been taking a look at this, and that is one recommendation that this be shut down. There's been, of course, reports that seem to come out quite often that there are structural problems with Line 5. If that continues to be the case, does this rise to the level of being an election year issue? As long as that line is still open, that perhaps someone running for governor or even for the state legislature can use to try and attract votes?
I think it'll definitely be an election year issue. Gretchen Whitmer running the presumed candidate for the Democrats. Attorney General Schuette declared, and he's been very active on Line 5. I haven't heard a whole lot from the Lieutenant Governor Callie on this topic yet, but he'll be forced to defend the Snyder administration record. Mackinac Island and the Straits of Mackinac are really, iconic in Michigan, and it's broader than just Michigan. So a disaster there would be, would be devastating. So I think this is going to get more attention in the race for governor in the campaign than an environmental issue normally would. I think this issue is here to stay.
And does this issue get framed differently now than it would have if there had never been that massive oil spill on the Kalamazoo River in 2010 when a pipeline owned by Enbridge ruptured and spilled somewhere in the neighborhood of 800,000 to a million gallons of oil in the Kalamazoo River.
I think that event absolutely has put a bigger spotlight because on line five, it's not abstract. Everybody remembers the Kalamazoo River experience. And in fact, I went on YouTube a few days ago, and there's a video there where a group of citizens who, this was made in 2012, and they're talking about the experience. And the video is really instructive, and it should be instructive for people around the Straits of Mackinac because the citizens there, and there's a woman by the name of Susan Connolly from Marshall who kind of leads the conversation. They talk about the day-to-day impact on their lives and how it affects them and their health and businesses in that area. If anybody would like to take a look at that video, I think it really frames the discussion. So short answer, yes. Enbridge, Kalamazoo, Line 5, they're all connected.
Governor Snyder had reached a deal with Enbridge on Line 5. Does that seem to shift the dynamic at all on this issue, or you know, are we kind of in the same place we've been with Line 5 now for a while?
I think it hasn't shifted it much at all. Environmental groups, his advisory board are all mad at the governor for making this deal. It seemed to come out of the blue. His advisory board voted the other day in a meeting against him. People are speaking out really on this advisory board very candidly. They're not varnishing their comments about the governor making the deal. I think the governor has made a mistake there. The deal with Enbridge has only muddied the water, pardon the bad pun.
Gary, I think one of the first times we had you on our station to talk about an issue, it was Asian carp. And yet here again, we're at the end of 2017, and it doesn't seem that a whole lot has changed. Was this a year of inaction when it comes to Asian carp and the effort to try to keep invasive species out of the Great Lakes?
Yeah, a piece I wrote for the Great Lakes Bureau for Detroit Public Television last week talked about the whole Asian carp, what do we do about them, as in it is now in its second decade, if you can believe that. It's been a year of the wheel just kind of keeps on turning, but not much progress is made. Senator Stabenow and, again, Senator Peters and others have been leading the fight on this issue, too, and they're really irritated at the Army Corps of Engineers now for going in slow motion on this issue. But the story just kind of recycles. The Army Corps is a big federal agency. They have a tremendous amount of support from members of Congress, and they move at the pace that they're going to move at. So it's been sort of another year of inertia, and we'll have to see where it goes. I think we're going to be talking about this for a few more years.
Does it almost feel like we have to have a situation where Asian carp are definitively spotted in Lake Michigan or somewhere in the Great Lakes in order to move past whatever is keeping things from happening on this issue?
We react to a crisis, and an occasional carp that's spotted in the lake or someplace else is not going to move the dial at all. I think there has to be, you know, some definitive number found, you know, hard evidence that there's a breeding population where the lakes are directly a threat. Otherwise, this will just piecemeal its way through the process.
So speaking of things that did not happen in 2017, there was no lawsuit over the diversion of water to Waukesha, Wisconsin. Now, take us back and remind us what was going on here, why Waukesha wanted the water in the first place.
Well, Waukesha is just on the borderline of the Great Lakes Basin. Actually, Waukesha, the city, is outside the Great Lakes Basin. But as part of the deal of the Great Lakes Compact, if a city is in a county that straddles the basin line, they're eligible for to take Great Lakes water. Doesn't mean they can automatically get it, but they're eligible to apply for it. And Waukesha went through a very expensive 10-year process that culminated this year with the eight Great Lakes governors approving the diversion. It was a very rigorous process, but at the end of the day, the governors approved the diversion. the common thinking all throughout this process was, no matter which way it goes, the other side is going to sue, is going to file legal action. And that didn't happen. There were some significant compromises. And the fact that nobody is suing is good for the region, because, you know, it would be airing your dirty laundry in front of the rest of the country. And there are still a lot of areas out there that look to the Great Lakes on occasion and say, hey, we'd like to have some of that water. And look, they can't even figure out what to do internally, so why not us? So I think that's a big win for the region, Gordon.
So if we take a little peek ahead now to 2018, are there any stories that you think are going to grab our attention that maybe we haven't heard about yet? Or do you think there might be significant movement on something which we've already talked about or which we've already been paying attention to in the Great Lakes?
The story that I've been watching emerge over the past year or so, and everybody knows about Asian carp and Line 5 in Michigan and Lake Erie's algae. These are all and the Trump budget cuts. Everybody is following these. But something that's really emerging, and I canvassed the region just this past week, and one of the leading concerns of a number of experts that I talked to is drinking water quality. It's top of mind for people. And of course, this, you know, is a spinoff from the whole Flint issue, but it's broader than just the Flint issue. That is top of mind for a lot of people. Also, water equity, the whole issue of shutoffs of water in Detroit and other cities because people can't pay their bills. Meanwhile, you've got Nestle with the permit pending, and they pay, you know, a pittance, a couple hundred dollars a year and some type of licensing fee to take all that water, you know, and put it in bottles and sell it back to us for $3 a pop. So I think the whole water equity and drinking water quality issue is just going to continue to grow in prominence.
Is there something out there besides lead that has people concerned? Is there some other way that water is being contaminated or made unsafe besides lead lines carrying the water?
A big issue is agriculture. And, you know, if you follow these things closely, the runoff, the nutrient runoff to Lake Erie that causes the toxic algae blooms is an issue. And that was the direct cause of the Toledo water crisis in 2014. But beyond that, agricultural pollution from factory farms, big hog farms, cattle farms, seeping into the groundwater, that is really starting to get a lot of attention. Wisconsin has a big issue with it. Ohio does. I haven't looked real close at Michigan, but I think it's an emerging issue everywhere. A lot of people get their water from wells. Agricultural pollution seeping into the groundwater is something that you want if you've got well water.
Gary Wilson is a contributor to Detroit Public Television's Great Lakes Bureau. As always, thank you very much for your time, Gary.
Thank you, Gordon.
You can find links to some of Gary Wilson's stories for the Great Lakes Bureau at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.